Good morning. Sorry I'm a bit kerfuffle this morning, but I have just a few things on the go at the same time. I guess it's my nature. I can't seem to do only one thing at a time. I am tasked with a lot of announcements. We will first start off with the Trustees Gala and thanking all of the people who came to the gala. We also would like to thank the people who sold the tickets to the gala. And as a group, we sought donations from our community. I would like to thank those people who assisted with the setup, the people who decorated the hall, the people who prepared dinner, the people who served, the people who cleaned up. Here is a list of our sponsors. John and Jennifer Adams, Susan Newton, Miller Hughes Ford, Gordon's Jewelers, Canadian Tire, Nick Cox, Squire Shop, Pommier Jewelers, Michelle Alexis, TSC, Dreamland, Schulman's Men's and Ladies Wear, Home Hardware, Marlin Orchards, Rona Hardware, Pure Aesthetics and Massage, Emad Brothers Lumber, Keppel Barras, Julie's Fashions, I think I forgot one, yes, Julie's Fashions, and we had a couple of people who wanted to be anonymous, so I'm respecting their right to be anonymous. This is very important because we made a lot of money at the gala. I will give you a short summary in a moment, but we have to thank and support the people who support us here at St. John's. So I'd like to raise a shout to all of the sponsors that I just nominated. Okay, so money's made. I have to switch now to Excel. So let me go to my Excel spreadsheet here. Sounds like I know what I'm doing, yes? First of all, when I look at the costs that we had, I'll give you the costs first. It rolled up to be $2,313, which is quite expensive. So we have to keep that in mind for future events. But altogether, right, remember these numbers, 2313. We made $4,032, and just this morning I had another check for $100 from someone. So the money just keeps rolling in and rolling in, which is fantastic. So a clear profit of $4,032 was made, and this will be used to pay off, and I read from my notes, go back to my Word document, pay off the Heart of the City loan, and whatever residual there is goes to the Board of Managers for open, operating and accounts. So I just want to make sure that we understand that this was agreed to by session at the meeting in May. Okay, so I take off my trustee's hat now. So Jennifer Adams, don't run away. I have a bag of money here that I'd like to get rid of after church. I don't want it in my house anymore because I'm tempted to spend it. Okay, so I switch hats now from the trustees and I put on my Board of Managers hat. On June the 18th, we had a full attendee at the Board of Managers meeting. All 7 members were present and accounted for. We discussed many things. I've only made a summary of what we have discussed. The Eastern Ontario Health Unit, we are going to be in January. We are going to have to take courses on how to prepare meals and how to serve meals in alignment with... No, we discussed that. I cancel that. We no longer have to take courses. I like this, eh? You know, equal opportunity. As we go, we correct things. You should have sent me a note this morning because I chatted with you this morning, but it's okay. We did receive the insurance check, and the restoration will commence this summer. That's for the work that's going on downstairs. And I guess the carpets are being done in June of 2018. A lot of activity happening downstairs. Maintenance note, I expected to see some work starting for the digital screens, which apparently are coming in, Dan, June 26th, in the week off. Tuesday, perfect. That's June 26th. Today is June 24th. We also have a new soundboard and raised platform will be added during the summer. Well, this doesn't look like a platform to me, but it's additional work. We sold the old windows to John Sorensen of Mallorytown for $1,000, and the monies will be headed to debt repayment. The Caldwell Hall floor will also be refinished in July of this year so that the pickleball players can have a better floor to play on. From a finance point of view, the numbers are written in the bulletin. Our office admin is working out quite well. She's picking up slowly, and hopefully she should be competent in June of 2018 to issue all of the financial reports and office reports on time. Ushering in June, it's Clement and Nick, it's their last month. And in July, Doug Carpenter and myself will pick up. In August, Keppel and Doug also. So that's a report from the Board of Managers, a meeting that was held on Monday. So I switch hats again, and I move on to my next charity event. It's a personal charity event. My wife and I will be riding to support multiple sclerosis, and I've made a deal, blessed with session. Whatever money that is given to us by members of this congregation for MS, I will write a check for that same amount to St. John's. So if you give me $1, I will write a check for $1 to St. John's. So both our organizations will benefit. MS from the money that you have given to MS, and St. John's, an equivalent amount, will be written to St. John's as a donation. So we gain twice. We also would like to mention that Ellis has been admitted to the hospital, Ellis Barkley. And as a result, Laura will not be here this morning because she is with her grandfather. This is all the announcements I had. Is there anything else? I don't think so. I have quite a few. So let us prepare ourselves to go to worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise knowledge and wisdom. Let our hearts keep their commands for a long life, as we have all been baptized in Christ's death, who promised us new life. Let us now praise God as those who have died and now live anew. Our opening hymn this morning is in your insert. It's called 10,000. Now, Gary, I didn't talk to you, but I normally need about 1 minute to introduce the hymns. It's something that I've learned from Dr. Rennie, that we need to know where these hymns have come from, because just singing them, to me, is not enough. You must have some historical background on where the hymns are coming from. Now, 10,000 Reasons, it's in your insert. It reveals the stories beyond the well-known church anthem. It fuses global leadership with the Matt Redman's own encounters of God from the believers throughout the ages. In just 4 years, 10,000 Reasons has become one of the church's most popular modern worship anthems. It can be used in times of triumph and also in times of sadness when we are personally in trial. This song allows us to connect the dots between singing the song and living the life. You can explore the influences and experiences that teach us how to trust God in all situations, from our own personal trials to stories of hymn writers like John Wesley, as well from current and ancient heroes of our faith. Let us sing together 10,000 Reasons.
Lord, O my soul, O
congregation may be seated. Let us bow our head and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in a broken state. We look up to you for assistance to repair our lives. We want to be like your Son, Jesus. Show us how to be like him. We want to praise you. Show us how to praise you, O wondrous God. Your steady love is beyond belief. Keep us in your steadfast love and care for us. Uphold us and keep us from slipping back into our old ways. Give us the strength and power so that we can raise our voices to praise you. How can we not praise you, God of all mercies? Teach us the way now and forever, and let us start by praying together that prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as you hear us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And today being the 24th of June, it's the Fête Nationale au Québec, Fête de Saint-Jean. On va répéter la prière de Seigneur en français pour les francophones qui sont ici avec nous autres. Just for the English-speaking people, I will say the Lord's Prayer in French, just out of respect to the francophones who are here with us today. Notre Père qui est aux cieux, que ton nom soit sanctifié, que ton règne vienne, que ta volonté soit faite sur la terre comme au ciel. Donne-nous aujourd'hui notre pain de ce jour. Pardonne-nous nos offenses, comme nous pardonnons aussi à ceux que nous ont offensés. Et nous laissez pas entrer en tentation, mais délivre-nous des mals. Amen. This is something that I do very often because I work in Spain, Italy, French, Quebec, of course, and I'm starting to pick up a bit of Mandarin. And when you speak to people in their language, it changes a lot how they respond to you and the culture. It becomes very open and you share it. It's something that I've learned in all of my dealings in countries around the world. Next we come to our praise song, number 655, Give Me Oil in My Lamp. Now this hymn, Give Me Oil in My Lamp, is also known as Sing Hosanna. It is a traditional Christian hymn based on the parable of the 10 virgins. The song has been recorded many times, and I was surprised to know that it was a hit in the West Indies in Jamaica in 1964 and was sung by Eric Monty Morris. It also was sung by The Byrds in 1969 on the record Ballad of the Easy Rider. The song is sung in verse-chorus format. Subsequent verses replace Oil in My Lamp. Many people have added many variations. The verb burning can be replaced by an appropriate verb depending on what you're singing for. The second verse, give me joy in my heart. And the third verse, it's very interesting, give me peace in my heart. Keep me resting and so on. Let us sing together hymn number 655.
Burning till the break of day.
Congregation may be seated. So, can I have the kids come up here to join me? Libby, I see you there hiding. Come on, I won't bite you. What's my name? Keppel. Oh, they know my name. That's not a good thing. I always remember in university, all the professors knew my name, and I don't know why. Because I think you were either very good, which I was not, or very stupid, which I was, and that's why they remembered me. So I wanted to talk. Ooh, we have a full house. Dan, you know the kid, you have to go for that. We have a full house today. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what it was like being a kid in Trinidad. I am from Trinidad in the West Indies, and I used to go to Sunday school in the early 60s. And unfortunately, the Sunday school teachers, because I went to Presbyterian school, I went to Presbyterian church, the Sunday school teachers that you had on Sunday were the same teachers that you had Monday to Friday. So if you didn't show up on Sunday, you were asked on Monday, where were you? And then other discussions would happen. I learned very quickly to attend Sunday school every Sunday. It started at 8 o'clock. Why? Because at 10 o'clock, when church was over, the sun was so hot, you had a hard time to walk home. We didn't have cars, we didn't have bikes, we had to walk everywhere we were going. So we had to walk home, and it was very hot in the sun. Now, my sisters and my brother, we were quite sneaky, have been very good at math, because my mother used to give us 5 cents. And there were only 4 of us. Okay? So 5 cents in a single piece could be broken at that time in Trinidad into 5 individual pennies. So we each got 1 penny and there was 1 left over. So what do you think we did with the 1 penny that was left over? What would I do? You know me, Deanna. What would I have done?
Saved it.
No. We never saved money in Trinidad because we had no pockets. You had nothing to put it in. We had no money. We never had an allowance or anything. This was supposed to be Sunday school money. We used to take the 1 cent and buy candy because we used to get 4 mints for 1 cent. So everybody was happy. The church got 1 cent from each of us and we got a mint as a bonus. Unfortunately, my mother, who was the principal of the school, used to count the offering. And she never saw the 5 cent piece in the offering plate for the Sunday school. So she knew something was adrift. So she cornered us all one day with a ruler, because she always spoke to us with a ruler. I don't know what it is, but if you're guilty, you got slapped here. I don't think we beat kids anymore. And she would start with me, because I was the youngest. And I crashed right away. I told her that it was his fault. And we stopped doing that. So we no longer used to steal money out of the church. We'd give the 5 cents in and that all went good. Now, we had no textbooks. How did we make textbooks? How did you, because you get all kinds of papers. How did we do it? Tell me. Chalkboard, that's right. This is a smart kid. Chalkboard. So all of the lessons that were during the sermon at 8 o'clock, the teachers would copy select phrases and write it on the chalkboard. and you were quizzed at the end of the class on your memory, your ability to regurgitate. I call it regurgitate because we used to recite it as we go, and then as soon as we left church, we forgot it and went on to something else. But you had to know it, and if you didn't know it, the Sunday school teacher used to pinch your ears. Right? Now, I know you guys don't get pinched. Well, I don't pinch them. Maybe you do, Debbie, but I don't pinch. Or slap in the head. Okay, I don't slap. I don't slap. Now, snacks after church, right? You guys, all kinds of nice things here that are prepared. What do you think our snacks were after church? Vegetables, that's good. We got snacks on anything that was growing in the backyard. So when mangoes were in season, guess what? You got mangoes. When oranges were in season, you got oranges. If nothing was in season, you got nothing. Right? And it's whatever you picked up, right, on the backyard, that would be your snacks. Of course, we'd wash them. Now, water is all we had to drink. And I must admit, in Trinidad, the water is not very clean. So on Saturday night, you had to put the water in a big tub. And then the dirt would settle. And then you'd scoop off a bit that was clean, and that would be the drinking water for the next day. So it really worries me when I see people with bottles here, and I stopped, Jen. I didn't bring any bottles this year. Bottles, just drink half of it and then toss it. We obviously have too much water here in Canada. We do. You know, sometimes I wonder if your internal resistance to bacteria is somewhat in dire need because you don't eat enough dirt. Occasionally, though, we did have egg salad sandwiches because some of the people had chickens, and when they didn't sell all the eggs, whatever was left over, you'd get egg salad sandwiches. So, we'd like to invite Debbie now. I'd like to offer thanks to all of the Sunday school teachers and nursery care providers. And Sarah Jane and Debbie, I think, who's doing what? You're doing the Sunday school teachers because I happen to be one of them.
Deanna. No, but I do have a loud teacher's voice, so I can, pardon me? No, I do not. No, sorry. I'm going to ask, as I read the teacher's names, for them to come forward and just have that visual recognition if you're here, and Deanna's got a pronation for each of you. So I'm not using my teacher's voice today. Okay. So here we go. First, I think I would like to just say a really quick thanks to all the teachers and the nursery ladies who every Sunday come out and take care of our youngest ones, teach our youngest ones, and without whom the Sunday school would not be a functioning and successful Sunday school. So we're going to start with Keppel. Yep, you come ahead up. You do get a flower, yes.
Yeah, like multiple flowers.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Much better. There we go. Laura McFadden. Where are you, Laura? There we go. And Trish Brown.
Will we stay or do we go back?
You can stay. Yeah, Tracy Cote, I don't think is here today. What about Judy Segan?
Judy, I didn't see.
No, I didn't see her coming either. Debbie Plant.
Where's Judy?
Is Judy here?
Debbie.
Okay. Andrea Hum, I don't think is here either. Carolyn, I'm going to get to you in a minute. you're beating me to the bush here. And the nursery caregivers are, they're downstairs. Carolyn McFarland, sorry, Sherry King, and Susan Poirier. So we will make sure that they will get a flower at the end of the service. So last but not least, Carolyn, you may come up now. Carolyn has devoted many tireless hours volunteering within our church and within the community as well However, she is the one that makes sure that we have Sunday school teachers for our youngest youth and curriculum for the teachers to use as well as supplies. Carolyn, without you, we really would not be able to do what we do in order to support our youth within our church for Sunday school. So, thank you very, very much.
Somebody else.
You make our Christian Ed team's job easy.
Okay, so on. I need you back for the commissioning of the youth.
Just before we start the commissioning, I'd like to mention something. Since we're honoring teachers, we're honoring the youth today, and we're doing the commissioning of the CY team, I thought it would be an appropriate time to honor our St. John's youth, who have gone on to university and college and graduated. So the list since 2007 to present is Tyler Jones, Philip Everson, Charlotte McEwen, Heather Smith, Jesse Handy, Sabrina Helmer, Corinne Lagrange, Alex Plant, Jamie McEwen, David Galately, Zach Jones, Rebecca Everson, and Sam Handy. Some of them are back in school for their master's, and we have ones that are currently in studies for their first degree or diploma. So I will be posting a list in August asking for people to partner up with them. So I would give you, if you're partnered with someone who is at university or college, I would give you a newsletter every 2 months or a little package to mail out to them. It's to let them know that they still have a home here when they come back and that we still think about them, pray for them, and care for them. Thank you.
It's okay. Yes, please.
2 Timothy, 1 chapter, verses 3 to 8 in the Living Bible. How I thank God for you, Timothy. I pray for you every day, and many times during the long nights, I beg my God to bless you richly. He is my Father's God and mine, and my only purpose in life is to please him. How I long to see you again. How happy I would be, for I remember your tears as we left each other. I know how much you trust the Lord, just as your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois do. And I feel sure you are still trusting him as much as ever. This being so, I want to remind you to stir into flame the strength and boldness that is in you, that entered into you when I laid my hands upon your head and blessed you. For the Holy Spirit, God's gift, does not want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong and to love them and enjoy being with them. If you will stir up this inner power, you will never be afraid to tell others about our Lord or to let them know that I am your friend, even though I am here in jail for Christ's sake. You will be ready to suffer with me for the Lord, for he will give you the strength in suffering. The theme for this year's CY is stirred, not shaken.
Today we have the privilege of commissioning participants from the congregation to Canada Youth 2018. This national ministry of the Presbyterian Church in Canada gathers together hundreds of youth, young adults, and young leaders to Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario, for 5 days of worship, nurture, discovery, and recreation.
Now I'd like you to turn to the insert. It's in the bulletins.
Mm-hmm. Bella, Ellie, and Deanna up here.
Of course, Lauren is not here because of her grandfather's illness.
Do you want me to mention
it? I did already at the start.
Mm-hmm.
I did already at the start. Ellie?
Okay. I was just going to say. Lauren is also going with us. She's been to two other CYs and has been commissioned in the past. Unfortunately, due to her grandfather Ellis being at the hospital this morning, she is not with us.
Okay. I present to you Debbie Plant, Bella Guanyama, Ellie Adams, Deanna Gill, Dan Plant, and Christine Paquette. These will be our participants at the Canada Youth 2018. In Christ we are made bold and strong. We keep our eyes upon God. A path is made known, and we are filled with joy in the presence of the Lord, so that we are not stirred or shaken to live as Christians in the world. I would like the congregation to please stand. Do you affirm the importance of this event in the faith journey of these individuals? Do you promise to support them in your prayers now and while they are away? Do you promise that upon their return after Canada Youth 2018, you will encourage their wisdom and strength as they share their stories? You may be seated. Do you affirm that you are an important part of the Canada Youth 2018 community and that you will live according to the community life guidelines of the event?
I do.
Will you honour and celebrate the diversity of the Canada Youth 2018 community and live by Christ's example?
I will.
Will you return to this community of faith, willing to share your reflections and inspire ministry within this congregation?
I will.
Will you be open to journey with the CY community, knowing that we have the gifts to be strong in our faith within us, that there are many people who go before us blazing a trail, showing us the way to right relationships with God and one another?
I will.
Let us bow our heads in prayer, and you can place your shoulders on each other. Wonderful God, thank you for the stirring of your Holy Spirit and the unshakable love of Jesus Christ. We are grateful for the many occasions in which we can gather together as your people. We thank you that you equip us with boldness and love. We ask that you equip Dan Plant, Christine Paquette, Bella Guanyama, Ellie Adams, and Deanna Gill, whom you have called to participate in Canada Youth 2018. As they take time away from the usual routines, may they be aware of your presence as it is revealed in familiar and unfamiliar places, in long-term friendships and unique new relationships. May they be surrounded by your love and protection. Give them joyful and inquisitive minds to see your hand and will in the world in their lives now. May they reflect the love of Jesus Christ in their words and actions. May your Holy Spirit inspire them to find delight in one another. Upon their return to us, may we be filled with the enthusiasm and excitement as they share their experiences. Stir us all in our hearts, minds, soul, and might to be courageous in the face of an ever-changing world. We pray all of this through Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to invite my wife to join me so that we can sing our praise to the Lord. In Trinidad, we never really had a prayer prior to the reading of the Word of God. We used to sing a praise song. And this will allow your mind to be put at ease so that you can receive the Word of God. So we're just going to sing, Michelle and I, hymn number 407. verses 1 and 2. So Gary, just two verses of hymn 407.
First reading is the responsive psalm 127. It's found on page 584 of the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. A song of ascent of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain.
It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious store, for he gives sleep to his beloved.
Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward.
Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth.
Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. The second reading is from Luke 11, verses 5 to 13, found on page 68 of your pew Bible. The subject is perseverance in prayer. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? Or if you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Third reading is taken from the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. It can be found on page 44.
47?
44? 44 of the New Testament. James and John, the son of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What is it you want from me to do for you? And they said to him, I lost the signal. Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They replied, We are able. Then Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, for it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become a great person among you, you must be a servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be a slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God for this word to us.
Yeah, I know. I'm not too sure if the kids were supposed to stay up, Debs, or if they had to go down.
So
you guys can go back to your parents, because we have a special presentation today from someone who you know. We now have our preparatory hymn, Pass It On, It Only Takes a Spark. I think it's in the insert, although I have so many papers here. Yes, it is. It's in the insert. And I was not able to find any background on this hymn. I'm not too sure why. So we're just going to sing it without any introduction. Okay, so Pass It On.
Love.
And this morning, we have a special youth leader who will assist me in delivering the sermon. Her name, you all know her, is Bella. And Bella's sermon is entitled, What It Means to Be a Christian. So Bella, I invite you to come and lead us in service.
I can't stand before you all and say that I'm the perfect Christian. But what's reassuring is none of us are. In the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 says, "There is not a righteous person on earth who always does good and never sins." Being a Christian can't be characterized as just one thing because there are so many aspects to it. Although most Christians would have many similar ideas of what it means to be a Christian, multiple different ideas would also arise. Because even though all Christians believe in Jesus and his teachings, we all have different minds, different ways of operating, and even different ways of believing. After all, God did create each and every one of us uniquely. He formed us with various shapes, sizes, colors, and even qualities, as he is the potter and we are the clay. I think being a Christian is being someone who is loving, serving, humble, forgiving, and has a strong desire to be good. One thing I think everyone can agree on is that being a Christian is challenging. For a lot of people, they were born into Christianity. Their parents had them and decided to have them baptized as a form of rebirth as a child of God. I myself was baptized at the age of around 1.5 years old. Before I could even form a sentence containing more than 4 words, my faith was decided for me. I had no concept of who God was, yet I was already one of his followers. Don't get me wrong, I am completely grateful for the fact that I was brought up in the church from such a young age. This is a good thing because in today's society, unless in a Christian school, schools really shy away and avoid all conversations about God. At least parents who baptize and bring children up in a church environment are giving their children information on which to base decisions as they grow. If you think about it, though, I started believing in God because I was told to. This is one of the hardest things about being a Christian, believing in a higher power that you sometimes wonder if even exists. The people around you in this book called the Bible tell you he exists, yet you cannot see him. You can imagine how confusing this can be for a child, but it's not only confusing for a child. All Christians have moments where their faith wavers and they question God's existence. As humans, we want to know the how and why behind everything. We are taught to question at school, but with God, we sometimes can't get answers to all of our questions. Sometimes, there aren't any answers, and we have to go completely on faith. This results in a late night staring at your bedroom ceiling, contemplating everything you know about God. You wonder why you believe in him, whether your prayers are actually going to this so-called God, and whether he's the one who created the world. You come to further inquire about his existence when prayers aren't answered. In the scripture today, Mark chapter 10, verse 35 said, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Like James and John, we as Christians want everything we ask for fulfilled. I even remember being 7 and praying that my parents would buy me an easy bake oven. As I've grown, I've realized that this is not the purpose of God. And we all know this, yet sometimes we still ask for some selfish things. On the other hand, a time when everyone turns to prayer is in the time of need. We've all seen at least one TV show or movie where a character's loved one is dying. And they don't believe in God, but they still find themselves going down to the chapel and saying, "I've never done this before, but if you really are out there, I'm praying that you'll save them." When these prayers aren't answered, we then wonder if God is really there, because if he was, he wouldn't have let this happen, or why would he let this happen? In these moments, we sometimes lose faith and ignore God's existence for a bit until we slowly restore our faith in him. I personally restore my faith in him by focusing on all the good in the world. We often focus so much on all the bad that we fail to see the abundant good that exists. I stop and think, "Thank you, God, for giving me another day on the beautiful earth, the food that I've eaten, the home that I have to go back to, and the people around me. I also think back to past times where the Lord helped me out of a difficult situation. Those many times outweigh the few times I felt I was let down. Most importantly, I consult someone who has been down the same road and can provide insight on my situation. They help me rebuild my faith by offering some practical advice. As Christians, we are taught to follow God's teachings and the Ten Commandments. We sometimes choose to ignore the existence of these two. I'm ashamed to admit this, but when I was about 8 years old, I remember multiple occasions where I would do something that I probably wasn't supposed to do, and I would say to myself, "Well, Easter is right around the corner, so God will forgive me for it then." I personally think a huge part of being a Christian means when making mistakes, you are able to acknowledge, rectify, learn from, and use them to grow even closer to God. All this said, Christians do not make mistakes because we know we will be forgiven. Rather, we make mistakes because God has given us free will and the ability to make choices. And although we try our best to adhere to God's teachings, we sometimes make the wrong choice and sin prevails. This does not make us any less of a Christian, but if anything, I believe it can help us become better. If we make these mistakes and are willing to accept that we've done wrong and are willing to make amends, we show the respect we have for God. We are also less likely to make this mistake again, and we become closer to God as we see the value in our relationship with Him. We see that He accepts us for the imperfect people we are and is always willing to forgive us. This is one of the beauties in Christianity. Another beauty in Christianity is the community that you become part of with Christians from all over the world. Christianity is the largest religion in the world, with approximately 31.2% of the world's population being Christian. This is about 2.3 billion people. Even with this overwhelmingly large community, as a young Christian, you feel like you're alone in the world. You feel like no one else believes in God, and you don't talk to your friends about it because it isn't cool, and you're afraid to be judged or picked on. Oftentimes, up until the age of about 13, I felt almost ashamed and out of place for being a Christian. 1 in every 12 Christians in the world lives in an area or in a culture in which Christianity is illegal, forbidden, or punished. And a bit over 7 months ago, we saw the tragic deaths of worshipers at a church in Texas. We are so fortunate to be able to take part in the Christian community. We see this community as we gather here in this building this morning, when we look at the youth group, and even when looking at the Agape Center. We should hold our heads high as Christians because we live in an area where we have this beautiful right. Meanwhile, there are people suffering from the opposite. As Christians, God wants us to spread His message in love, and the only way we can do this is by sharing our faith with others. I am glad to say that I am no longer afraid to tell my friends at school that I believe in God, that I'm part of a church, that I'm part of a youth group, or even that I'm preaching in church today. Despite the challenges that go along with being a Christian, there's so much good in it. As Christians, we become better people as we are called to be loving, serving, humble, and forgiving. We are all capable of these qualities. God said, "Love one another as I have loved you." To show our love for others, we can comfort and support them in a time of distress. In order to serve, we can do things as simple as taking part in the youth group, singing in the choir, or reading scripture. We can act in a humble manner by helping others out of the goodness of our hearts, not for the praise we will receive. Being a Christian is what a person does when they think that no one is watching. It can often be easy to do what we think personifies what others perceive as Christian acts when others are watching, but often that can be just for show. We need to also remember that God is always willing to forgive us, so we should offer others the same courtesy. As mentioned before, one of the most amazing aspects of Christianity is the community you gain. You always have a community, and for me, my community is here at St. John's. It's also just nice to believe in something, because even in my darkest moments where I feel so alone, I know that God is always by my side, and I know that I have prayer. As Christians, we are also constantly bettering ourselves and transforming more and more into the image of God. Christians help to better one another, and we learn from each other. We see others getting involved in the world through mission trips and fundraisers, and this inspires us to also want to help make a difference. So in closing, I invite you all to reflect on what Christianity means to you. What are your challenges and your beauties in Christianity? What steps can you take to overcome your challenges? And finally, how will you take an active role in your Christian community?
I am impressed. I don't think Reverend Ian realizes how much of a backfill he has in myself, in Bella. I'm really touched by your message. We have the depth. We can actually, if Reverend Ian is ill for whatever reason, I have already a prepared sermon and scriptures and everything in my laptop. I can just pull it up at a moment's notice. And with people like Bella, we have others in the congregation who can stand up and deliver a message that's solid. So thank you very much, Bella. I think she deserves a round of applause. She tells me she's 15 years old, so we don't want to advertise her age, but that's very good. Clemmer, keep a track of her. She's going to be good. Okay, we now come to, I go through my list here, where are we at? It's time for our presentations, our offerings and gifts. Before we start, though, I need someone from the woman of the church to come forward. And I don't know who is here. I don't see Phyllis. I don't see anybody. Who is going to be a representative of women of the church? No one? Okay, well, woman of the church, you have a check in here. And the check is there for the desserts, which was made for the gala, that you wouldn't accept any money. So, let us give to God our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Father, we have given but a portion of what we have received. We ask that you use it to further your work in this church and throughout your kingdom. We have a lot to share. We know of many who could use your help in both monetary and spiritual blessings. Help us to make the decision to use this money wisely. Help the Board of Managers in session make the proper distribution to those less fortunate. School in the Dump, the Agape Center, and whatever programs that we support here at St. John's. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I give them a few minutes to clear off the people who are going down to count. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Holy and living God, you desire that we commune with you in prayer by bringing our doubts, our fears, our joys, and our concerns, our petitions, and our praise to pray for the earth and all of its creatures. We turn to you wherever we are, tired from work or weary with responsibility. When we have too much responsibility or too many things to do and not enough time or resources to do it. We pray for those of us who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. Whether we are suffering the loss of a loved one, or whether we are feeling the love of a stranger, or if we find love is a painful burden, help us, reach out to us and support us. Some of our congregation are ill. They are in search of healing. Wherever people ask, wherever they need help, please step in and help them. We seek a reliable friend, a healer, a true comforter or advisor. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the path to seek what we desire. We seek your love. We will reflect this love through your world by deeds that we do this day and every day. We pray for the people in the Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo, the people of Syria, the people of Iran, the people in other war-torn zones, the people who are going to vote in Nigeria. They are suffering. Lend a hand to ease their pain. We also pray for all of the immigrants who are stuck at the U.S.-Mexican border. Help them to do the right thing, to make sure that families are never separated. We also pray for your blessings here in St. John's. Some of us are not feeling well, and you know who we are. Let us take a few seconds in our minds to pray for those people. We ask forgiveness for iniquities and give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. We also ask that you bless the meal that we are about to share following the service today. We ask to bless the hands that prepared it. Use it to nourish our bodies so that we can continue to serve you. We also ask you to bless the farmers who have given so much so that we can enjoy it. This is my prayer for you, Father. So direct me from above, that I may live a life for you and reflect my Savior's love. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 376. It's called Shine, Jesus, Shine. Now this hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine, is also known as Lord, the Light of Your Love is Shining. It's a Christian praise song that was written in 1987 by Graham Kendrick. He also wrote the music for the hymn. It's a very rhythmic song that does involve hand clapping, so please feel free to clap your hands. The song was voted best 10th in the world, in 2005 in the United Kingdom's Survey of Favorite Hymns. This was done by the BBC Song of Praise program. It was also sung by the children of Department of Social Welfare and Development staff at the Mary Immaculate Parish Special School in Villamore. It's an air base in the Philippines, when Pope Francis had visited the Philippines in 2015. The performance was meant to evoke World Youth in 1995, which the Philippines held. As well, Pope John Paul was there at the World Youth. So let us sing together hymn number 376. We now go forth into the world to fulfill our calling as the people of God, the body of Christ. And as we meet each other during the week, extend your right hand in friendship and bless the person whom you meet. Amen. We will now sing our benediction. Oh, we lost Gary. Oh, okay.